Derek Bishop, and you're listening to WTR.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is Third Generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Al Silk. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
What you need to learn is that this is my house.
Spud.
Look into my eyes when I tell you that, thank God, I'm an ass!
Will.
Hey, yo.
Mace.
As everyone knows, that I am the most powerful force, both the ring, nevermore.
And the Omega.
I'm the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Join the club, we've got jackets.
Yeah, baby.
I came to play, there's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
I came to play.
You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back, watch this human
race. I came to play,
you get my due pay. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be
saved.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Money in the Bank has just cashed in, and we are about to weigh in on another WWE pay-per-view. As always, this is the one and only, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, leading the way as we enter another round of wrestling discussion. And with me tonight, we have Mace.
I'm back from being on a boat, motherfuckers.
We have Will.
Awesome.
Sitting in for Spug once again, we have the one and only Alan Wojcik.
I'm glad I'm not a wrestler, because those two Money in the Bank matches made me want to go get a wheelchair.
I think we all have sore ribs after those. And, of course, at the top of the food chain, the one and only Mr. Tim Stein.
Is that my cue?
Yeah, when I say your name, that's when you go.
Oh, that's when I go. Okay, well, let me just clear my throat here. Hang on. Just wanted to make sure it sounded all right. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. That's right, Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, guys, in case you missed it, the past couple of times, well, a couple of times this past week anyway, I have, just for the hell of it, got on the, the Ustream feed and everything else like that, and just DJed music. And we've had people come to the website who have never been to the website before, hang out, make requests, have a great time, just, you know, a basic general party. And I just want to say right now that that has obviously helped bring a few people to the show tonight, and I just want to say to those people who have tuned in, sorry that I'm really, really loud, and there's a lot of feedback. I'm going to be working on it right now, but thank you very much for showing up, tuning in, and checking out what Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night, is all about. I just thought I'd, say that, guys.
Well, that's very good of you.
Yeah.
Always with the shameless self-promotion, Tim.
Always with the shameless self-promotion, I'm doing my damnedest to try to get you guys to do the same damn thing, you know what I'm saying? So, is my mic still sounding like crap?
You balanced out.
Sounds good, but whoever had the Ustream player in the background has finally stopped, thank God.
Okay, what that is, that's my other laptop. Now, just in case you guys don't know the setup, because I go absolutely nuts with computers and work my ass off, I've got a laptop. You guys all remember Internet Dave.
Who the fuck is he?
Yeah, right. Who the fuck is Internet Dave? He gave me a broken laptop that I made work. So I'm using it.
Well, aren't you proud? Do you want a cookie?
I want two cookies, and they better be peanut butter chocolate chunk.
How about no, the cat ate them.
Well, that sucks ass. Don't feed the cat chocolate. You'll kill it. Anyway, so I've got the laptop going. Then I've got my PC going where I'm doing all of the heavy work. And the laptop is to monitor what's going on in the chat room on WTR. The PC is for me to do all of the multitasking that I'm doing. And right now, tonight, I'm talking through my netbook, my third computer, my second laptop.
Good Lord.
So, yeah, I'm connected, man. I'm hooked up. You know what I'm saying?
That sounds like having four ladders in the ring at the same time.
Four ladders in the ring at the same time? Who the hell would do that?
I have no clue.
Geez, that sounds like a Money in the Bank match.
Gee, that wasn't subtle at all.
No, it was like hitting you on the head with a hammer, don't you think?
Which I'm surprised nobody pulled out in these matches.
There you go. But, yeah, I want to just say a very special hello to all the new listeners who have tuned in for the very first time, at least listening to this show, and a very special hello to Kaylee in Scotland. I know that Kaylee's been digging the music and is a wrestling fan, didn't know about us, and during the DJ nights I told her about us, so she's tuned in. So everybody say hi to Kaylee.
Hello.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
There you go. And I just wanted to just do that. But, yeah, interesting pay-per-view tonight. I'm just not really sure if it was pay-per-view worthy. Anybody got any opinions?
For this shit?
Yeah, right. Who paid for this?
Crickets.
Good damn question. So, yeah, there you go. Anyway, hey. Yeah, I'll tell you. So there are a couple of people who did pay for it, and some of them connected with the network. Anyway, starting off the pay-per-view tonight was the SmackDown Money in the Bank matchup. And we had Kofi versus Ziggler versus Christian versus Hardy versus Drew McIntyre versus Big Show versus Kane versus Cody Rhodes. And do you guys all remember your picks from last week when we did our preview?
Yeah.
I do.
No.
Yeah.
And, of course, the producer, Sir Rockin, remembers as well. I picked Ziggler. I figured they were going to give him a push. I was wrong. Who'd you pick, Alan?
I went with Drew McIntyre and got to pull up my butt for it. Damn, I hate being wrong.
There you go. Mace, who did you pick?
I have no fucking idea, but I tell you what, I am so happy to be wrong.
Okay, Will, who'd you pick?
Christian.
And who did I miss who's on the line?
Me.
Did we hit everybody? Oh, Omega, who did you pick?
Sadly, I picked a Big Show.
Now, how many people would have given their left testicle, or somebody else's left testicle, to actually pick Kane to win the Money in the Bank?
That came out of left field beyond the wall. It's like, what the heck happened there, man?
I don't think
picks are worth a testicle, period.
Well, there you go, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, completely out of nowhere. That was the booker from the Grassy Knoll. That's what the fuck that was.
Grassy Knoll, yeah. Okay, obscure JFK reference. By the way, it was a CIA conspiracy.
if you check out the movie Watchmen, you see it all happen.
Oh, The Watchmen. What a different movie. That I was not expecting what we saw in The Watchmen, I'll tell you. Anyway, we'll talk about movies on movie night. Yeah, Kane winning. That was like, that was just like a dive over the monster into left field.
Okay, we get the point. It was something we didn't predict. Let's keep going.
There you go. Yeah. So, what exactly does this set up now? He now holds the Money in the Bank, the guaranteed championship title match. Is he going to cash it in anytime soon?
Well, I don't know.
Not a clue.
We'll talk about that later. Of course, I don't know if we've got anybody who wasn't paying attention to the pay-per-view tonight, either by reading the spoilers or the online updates or actually watching the pay-per-view itself. But we won't talk about that. But there it is. Kane wins the Money in the Bank. I can see a setup down the line possibly for SummerSlam on this one. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the Next matchup, WWE Divas Championship. How many guys got up and used this as the bathroom break?
Me! And about three-quarters of the crowd.
Isn't this where the remaining quarter may have gone to the concession stands to buy t-shirts for the kid brother?
Dude, I could hear them snoring. And it definitely brings up a point that I made in the chat as we're watching the pay-per-view. When you start off with something as high impact and sort of fast paced as Money in the Bank match, whatever match is coming up next is going to be boring as batshit and the crowd is going to die off. It was just absolutely horrid.
Yep. Okay, yeah, Alicia Fox retains the title with the axe kick. Again, Omega, do you really care about that?
No, not really.
Okay, so has everybody had a quick little say on this match here? Will?
I got nothing.
You got nothing. Okay.
No, neither did the match.
Okay, and then the third match of the night. How many matches were on this card altogether? We had 1, 2, 3, 4,
like six?
7.
Oh.
Okay, 7. So the third match happened to be the tag team championship match, the Hart Dynasty versus the Usos.
That he was looking spectacular. That's about all.
Yes,
yes,
Mace.
That's about as standard as a tag team match gets.
Yeah, but was it a pay-per-view worthy match? Really?
No. Because the Usos have zero build whatsoever.
Yeah.
There's no chance they belonged on a pay-per-view yet.
Well, there you go.
Considering they did this, what, last Monday on Raw anyway? But we've been seeing variations of this match for the last few weeks on free television.
Well, they've also...
You didn't do anything to it.
Yeah, but they've also been doing it at house shows as well.
Right.
Oh, woo.
So, yeah.
At least they didn't go with the standard new tag team haphazard throw the titles on them because their new strategy.
Yeah, thank goodness they didn't do that. So the Hart Dynasty retains, which I think personally is a smart move. But those are the first three.
Tim,
go ahead.
Before you continue on, I have a theory on why they couldn't put the titles on the Usos. Because I tell you what, anybody who went to take the belt off Natty would have been absolutely slaughtered. Or at least turned into a pretzel.
Mm. You caught me in mid-gulp of my tasty carbonated ice-cold, very refreshing beverage there. But, yeah, so those were the first three matches on the card. Now, we gave you a really, really quick shot at it. What we're going to do is go back and review the three now before we take our first break and then come back and review the rest of the pay-per-view. Let's start with taking a look at the Money in the Bank. Spots and all this other stuff in there. You come to expect them. What was the highlight of the match for you, Omega?
Oh, jeez. we're going to the SmackDown. Is the SmackDown Money in the Bank, or are you going right to the?
No, we're going back to the top of the show again to break down the first three matches.
Okay.
So, who flew backwards around the world to reverse time?
Superman.
Cena?
John Cena?
He's at the end of the show.
Later on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on down the road. I don't know if it's most memorable, but it made me laugh seeing the Big Show stacked up underneath a bunch of ladders. It reminded me of the old ECW days of chairs flying all over the place.
So that was the highlight for you, was it?
That amused me greatly.
What about you, Mace? What stood out for you in this match tonight?
You know what? There's nothing that stood out for me in this match because I can barely remember it now because the Raw Money in the Bank just blew it out of the friggin' water. I'm sure there was probably somebody deciding to put their ass through a table or something, but yeah, after watching the Raw Money in the Bank, this one just didn't mean shit.
What about you, Will?
All this did was reinforce the fact that I fucking love... I shouldn't have said that. I really enjoy ladder matches. I mean, yeah, most people would probably say that the boom drop through the table was the spot for this match, but even though we'll get into the Raw match later, for this to be the starting match just completely opened the card all the right ways, except for the way they followed it after that. There were just so many great creative spots throughout the entire match that it's just hard for me to pick a favorite.
Gotcha, yeah.
Didn't Kofi Kingston become the Shelton Benjamin in this one?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes, he did.
As the producer reminds us, the boom drop through the table.
Yeah, well, he had a spotlight out during the WrestleMania 26 match where he decided to become a Busch Gardens, Tampa, Florida stilt walker.
Yeah.
With the broken ladder. I kept waiting for that kind of spot to come again. The funniest part of this whole match was the idiocy of Paul Big Show, the giant, whatever they kept calling him, White. You have a ladder that supposedly weighs 350 pounds, so instead of sliding it underneath the bottom rope, your dumbass pulls it over the top rope.
Yeah, I missed that.
SmackDown.
Yeah, I missed that. It was Show that actually pulled the ladder in, right?
Yeah.
He finally got it. It went through the second rope, and the funny part was on SmackDown, I lost count of how many people actually carried that down the rampway. It was five? Okay. I thought I saw five or six. I was just going, okay, it takes six of these guys, and they're probably local wrestlers in Louisville, or they were OVW cats bringing it down. That was just, that ladder was so anticlimactic to him, like you guys all have been saying. The big spot was him getting buried under the ladders, Terry Funk chair style. I don't know. As everybody's already outlined, it was like watching an Eastern Conference hockey game in the early part of your evening and then putting on a Western Conference hockey game when you watch the Raw match.
Yeah. Okay. Alan, you and I are going to definitely have to sit down when we're not on broadcast at some point in time and just talk a little bit about hockey, because you sound like the biggest American hockey fan I've ever run into.
I'm a junkie, I admit it. Wayne Gretzky is my god. Madison Square Garden is church.
Man, Rock, I think I found a new friend to hang out with.
But it's true, this match just seemed like it was... you could feel the choreography to break the kayfabe wall completely, guys. And this is with two trained wrestlers and another one who's at least been to a training camp of some kind. This match felt just like, okay, step one, open a ladder. Step two, someone takes bump off ladder. Someone climbs up, someone takes bump. It was just like, the pacing just was really stale for an opener.
Yeah.
The working formula.
Well, considering two of the guys in the ladder match were both 7 feet tall, and that normally isn't ladder match territory for guys like that.
Yeah, but we were all sitting there, we're all hoping that the Big Show would climb up the ladder and give us something. I don't care if it was him falling backwards off the ladder, dropping an elbow off the ladder or something. I wanted to see that ring crater.
Even just coming off the ladder with the double axe handle would have been something for Show to do.
Exactly. That would have taken out a corner of the ring, or at least three or four boards.
Yeah, and then he would have wound up disappearing from WWE the way he first appeared. Right through the ring.
No. Even if he went through the ring, it'd only go up to his waist.
Yeah, I kept waiting for a Taz Bam Bam Bigelow moment, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah. So, overall thoughts about this particular match. We'll start with you, Will. Give us your final thoughts and a grade.
Well, real quick, at Alan, no matter how choreographed this match may have seemed, it was hot enough that even though Big Show was struggling to get that ladder into the ring, they managed to still keep the crowd in it with him trying to get it into the ring.
And that's pretty surprising that the fans were more just like, pull, pull, pull.
But with that said, it was a hell of a way to open the show. Me being a huge ladder match fan, I've choreographed as hell or not, I'm going to give it an A.
Okay, there you go. Will still doesn't feel that it's become an extremely formulaic type of matchup. Gives it an A. Alan!
Well, fortunately, there wasn't 600 guys like we've had at the WrestleManias before.
Or on some WTR shows.
Pretty much, but I can't give it an A. I'll probably give it a somewhere in the B range, especially with the end result that happened later on when you get to the two world title matches. You can't get around it. It's a ladder match. It's a spot fest, no matter what you do, no matter who you have in it. And as everybody also outlined, Kofi Kingston is the new Shelton Benjamin. He's going to never get past mid-card, unfortunately, and it sucks because Kofi's a really good worker.
Yes, this is... Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was your letter grade, Alan?
I'll give it a B-.
Okay, so we've got one A and a B-, Omega. Final thoughts, opinions, and grade.
I probably have to give it a mid-range B. It's a good way of opening the show. Maybe a little too hot, since nothing could really follow it, save for a gimmicked world title match like later Money in the Bank we had.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, and I am shocked that I can actually, I shouldn't be able to say this phrase, but it was a standardized Money in the Bank match. I mean, the spots were very much set out and set up, and it, you know, the match, I mean, it was a good match. I enjoyed it, and I admit I liked the occasional spot monkey fest, but when the pacing isn't right, it does look like a game of mousetrap where you're just setting up everything for like one big payoff, and then you do it all again.
Now, the one thing you said that got me wondering, and I can't help but wonder about, when did you ever think you might use the words standardized and ladder match in a sentence?
Yeah.
Think about it.
Any ladder match TNA puts on?
Yeah. Mm. I don't know about that one, Will.
Especially when the guy is supposed to be afraid of heights.
Yeah. Yeah, Rob Terry, or no, what's his name?
That was Douglas Williams.
Douglas Williams.
That's right, Doug Williams.
The last good ladder match TNA put on involved Christian and Kaz. After that, they've all been very formulaic.
It's a shame to actually hear anybody say formulaic when they're talking about a ladder match. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe we're just over inundated with them. They're not special anymore. Is this right?
Well, I don't think it's so much that they're not special anymore, so much as the way that they handle them these days, it does come off very much like, well, okay, yeah, I've seen all these spots before. I mean, you should have more imagination than this. And just, you know, it's a money in the bank ladder match. So you pretty much know, okay, whoever just crash landed now, we're going to have each of the other six wrestlers in the match go, and then these two are going to climb back up and crash again.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I did point that out myself. I mean, it's obvious my grade's boosted by being such a fan of the match, but when I first got on, the first thing I said was, wow, look, they already went through the clear the ring spot.
Right off the off the top of the match, yeah. So, Mace, final thoughts and opinions in your letter grade.
Yeah, well, with this, I think it was more a fact of before the show goes on the air, because I'm going to take out a hammer and completely destroy the kayfabe wall. The SmackDown guys were probably in the ring watching the Raw guys plan through their spots and going, oh, shit, okay, we're going to have to, shit, they're doing that? Wow, okay, what have we got left, guys? Oh, shit, we're left with, like, the basic crap. Oh, well, let's just try and put it together into a convincing match. And they did that. It was a very convincing match, very, very hot opener, but unfortunately it did spoil the at least the next two matches on the card, in my opinion. No. So, given all that type of stuff in the consideration, I'm going to throw it out there as a B. You know, it would have been better if there was a bit more innovation, but there wasn't as much innovation as there was in the Raw match.
Yeah, well, you do have a point. It felt like a stale match. Do you know what I mean? It just felt like the best analogy I could probably give you is you go to the Bakers and you pick up a dozen donuts. You come home and you eat six donuts, and they're absolutely awesome. They're very fresh. They're tasty. They're full of flavor. You can't eat the other six, so you leave them. You come back the next morning to have them for breakfast. They're a little dried out. They're a little staler. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's the flavor, the feeling I got from the SmackDown.
I've had Money in the Bank matches before, but this just wasn't as good as those.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you can go to here's another one for you, Mega. You can go to the bakery and get the big ones, you know, the big cinnamon buns that they make by hand, or you can go to the grocery store and buy the packaged ones that they supposedly make in their little bakery that look like they were frozen for a week before they were cooked, before they got baked. You know, you can tell there's a difference.
Thank you, Rachel and, Ray.
Yes, and that's just the feeling I got from it. I got to give it a B minus. You know, like solid A for effort. And you know me, when the guys put their A game out there, I'll support them come hell or high water, no matter how stupid any storyline is that they have to participate in. I got to really agree with Mace a little bit on this one, with what you said, Mace. So it's like, oh shit, what are we gonna do? They're doing this. Christ, what do we got left? So you know, like B minus for me on this one. So, and that's the opening match of Money in the Bank, the SmackDown Money in the Bank match. The next matchup was the WWE Divas Championship match, Alicia Fox versus Eve. Nothing special about this match. Nothing spectacular happened. Alan?
Boring. As everybody's outlined here already, you could have had Jesus Christ versus Satan after this match, and mm-hmm. the crowd would have sat there going, I'm not really buying either one of these two is as worthy of a championship compared mm-hmm. to what you've got going on the other roster. And I honestly admit I stepped out a couple times to make sure that Abby was sound asleep and came back going, they're still wrestling? Crap. So probably give it a C.
Okay.
Move the conversation forward.
There you go. Mace.
Yeah, this pretty much was spoiled by the fact that, A, we just really didn't want to see this, and B, the crowd was dead. You know, it was obvious that they put these girls out there knowing that they're not going to get very far. You know, they're not going to be able, even though they did wrestle, this is something that we pointed out quite a few times in our chat, was they are wrestling and actually doing a half-decent job to a degree.
Yeah.
But in the end, there was no excitement. You know, there's a difference between wrestling and exciting wrestling. And I did harken back to one of Raven's famous little quotes about how to plan the flow of a match, and it pertains to masturbation, so I'm not going to go into it here on the air.
But
the short version is you go too fast, you're going to blow your load, and you're not going to be happy with the results, whereas if you pace yourself, you get a better feeling. Anybody who's watched any of Raven's shoot interviews, go find it, have a laugh. But this match I'm going to put down a solid F for fail.
Boo.
Because they pretty much just couldn't do anything to get the crowd going.
Well, there you go. A feeling grade for Mace Omega.
It's hard for me to give an opinion on this match, considering I was watching through tears of boredom.
Hmm. That kind of sort of sums it up.
Yeah, that pretty much does it. I give it a D just because nobody lost their head during the match.
Although at one point it looked like somebody could have, didn't it?
And that's why it's not an F.
And there you go.
I'm sure the reason why they put this match on is because two people were giving head.
Oh! Oh yeah, by the way, Will?
Yeah.
You're up next, but you were about to say the F word and then stopped yourself. I have no clue why. you know, this is Wrestle Talk Radio.
What do you mean about to?
What the fuck, man?
Nobody from WWE is listening in on this one.
So, that's all good. Don't worry about that. Last week was a one-off deal. It was a special situation. Don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fine. Okay, that being said, what the fuck's your opinion of this goddamn match, for fuck's sake?
This fucking match sucked. No.
That's all you gotta fucking say.
Well, the fact is, when you come off a ladder match, you gotta be able to follow it with something that can still keep the crowd going.
This didn't quite do it, in your opinion.
And Divas matches are not that match. Had it been Mickie James and Beth Phoenix, maybe. Stratus, Lita, yeah. But the fact is, these are two divas that no one gives a shit about. There's no heat for Alicia Fox. They're stuffing Eve Torres down our throats when they have a perfectly capable female wrestler in Gail Kim. And, you know, they tried to go out there and have a decent wrestling match, but the fact is, if the crowd doesn't give a shit about you, you ain't getting any reaction, and that's what happened.
Very salient point, yeah. And you're talking about them stuffing Eve down our throat. Shouldn't we be stuffing ourselves down her throat?
Not down her throat, Tim. Other areas, brother.
Only well, if we have the only if we have the power to put her on pay-per-view.
All right. Down the throat to start with. Hey, you know what's really cool?
What?
Commercial breaks.
We're about to take our first little time out here right on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am standing outside in my backyard on a beautiful, beautiful Sunday evening right here in Calgary Dramatic Plaza, Alberta, Canada. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful time. Tell you what, everybody, don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back after this quick little time out. Take a look at the rest of the pay-per-view. We'll be back right here, WTR Sunday Night.
Hey guys, Maverick here, the host of the only show where it's okay to basically say,
Umaga in Samoan means shriveled up monkey penis.
Now I know what you're thinking. Why do I come on here talking about being a genius when I have so many problems with my own show? Well, it's simple, folks. I'm Maverick. I'm not Albert Einstein, for God's sakes. But if you're looking for a show with outlandish opinions of wrestling and the WWE, TNA, and the NorCal indie scene, then tune in to Running the Ropes, Fridays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the indie scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Vince Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestlers today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage,
Janice Michelle,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
yesterday,
Brett the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Pilgrim, the greatest of all time,
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wiggleman,
and tomorrow,
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use, online world of wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Hawk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
This is Raven, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, and you're listening to WTR, and I've got a tip for you. Don't pet burning dogs.
WTR, Sunday Night Wild Talk, Wrestle Talk on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're kind of sort of in the middle of breaking down the Money in the Bank pay-per-view match. And we're going to be continuing on. Guys, match up next. Spoke about it really briefly to begin with, but let's take a look at it a little bit in depth. We're talking about the Hart Dynasty taking on the Usos. Alan, what did you think of this one?
If you kept just watching the hard cam on this match, the MVP brothers, sorry, Usos, the ring tights, they look like the old school British Bulldogs. Just sitting there going, wait a minute, when did Davey Boy and Dynamite get here? Mm-hmm. Everyone is saying that these guys aren't ready for prime time type players. That's not their doing, obviously, and I'm sure everybody else will agree. It's Steph McMahon, Levesque, and whoever else is booking on Raw. I don't know if Gierwitz is still over there not doing the booking, but other than I think somebody mentioned when we were on Tuesday night's show that these guys had only wrestled on TV in the six-man the other night and a Superstars match against Goldust and Yoshitatsu, and that got you a... So is that the deal? You come out, you just jump the champs, and automatically you get a belt shot. I think they should have milked this till SummerSlam, but if you're doing grades up, I'm a fan of the Hart Dynasty, and I'm happy they kept the belts again. And Davey, what the heck's he called? D.H. Smith?
Yeah, David Hart Smith.
I wanted to call him Harry. It's Harry Smith. I'm sorry. He needs to be turned into a killer more than he does in certain matches instead of TJ doing all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give
so
him a
basically
big...
what King was saying.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why they don't just let Harry be Harry. I saw these guys wrestle years ago when they were the Stampede Bulldogs in an MLW show in Orlando, Florida. And I remember sitting in the balcony with some people going, these guys are used right, some promotion. They're going to steal the tag team division in that promotion. Who the heck knew all these years later? I'd be sitting on a radio show saying the exact same thing. So I give it a B. And I would have liked to have seen the girls gotten involved a little more than they did in the one spot. But
yeah.
Hey, the women's division is the women's division. I think Natty and Snooka Daughter should be used in that division as well.
Yeah, well, hey, good breakdown. Yeah,
write your congressman and get it made.
There you go. Well, you know, people have heard me going on ad nauseum, ad infinitum about the Stampede Bulldogs even before they were a glimmer in FCW, before they even signed the contracts and left the Stampede Wrestling territory. They heard me talking about them ad infinitum. It's nice to have somebody like you on the show here tonight to actually basically back up what I've been saying about them and make me look a little bit less like a homer and heart lover.
I've seen TJ at the, he was here for one of the Peterson Cups, and even then I was just sitting there going, wow, this kid's got a unique look, and if he signs with one of the big two, who knows what's going to happen.
There you go. Mace, what'd you think?
Pretty much, as I said in our small little rundown of it, this really, if they didn't do this so often on friggin' free TV over the last couple of weeks, I would actually grade this a lot higher. However, it was pretty much stock standard, the same shit we've seen on Raw these last couple of weeks. And the only highlight is Natty was looking perky as all hell. But even that doesn't save it this time. I'm giving
My
it a
goodness.
D.
There you go, giving it a D. Okay. You and Natty looking perky.
I could give it two Ds if that helps.
Okay, you're gonna get totally smacked around in a minute. That's all I'm gonna tell you.
Hey, somebody's gonna do it when Spug's not here, goddammit.
Oh my goodness, yeah, I suppose. Alright, Omega, what do you think? Omega?
Well, when Spug's not here, someone else has to put their microphone on mute.
Oh, there you go.
I think I got my thoughts on this match out of the way already. I mean, it's very standard tag team match. As much as I like the Hart Dynasty, the Usos just are not ready for pay-per-view, we're not ready for a spot like this, and they pretty much did it just because they wanted to add credibility to the only tag team they had that wasn't the Hart Dynasty. So, yeah, this is, I mean, on any Raw or SmackDown, this would probably be a B, but it's a pay-per-view. You know, people paid a lot to see this. That drops it down to maybe a C-.
Let me ask everybody in the room before Tim keeps going on here. Maybe I missed it. I know these guys were drafted in quotes to Raw, but has the Hart Dynasty ever shown up on SmackDown to defend the belts since they've been champs? And I don't watch SmackDown every single week, but has that happened? Because you've got the Dude Busters over there, so they haven't even taken a step on there. Like the Nexus hasn't taken a step over to.
Yeah, they haven't taken a single step onto SmackDown.
Great booking by the office.
Yeah, it seems that the belts are now exclusive to whoever champs have them, whatever brand they're on by the looks of it. But then again, can we just bury the tag team division finally and just put the stone there going rest in peace?
They're trying. They're trying every week, man.
So, Will, what do you think?
I actually think this was a subpar tag team match. Truth be told, what did the Usos do that showed us anything? I mean, yeah, there was one spot I can remember from them, and that was when one Uso threw the other Uso into Harry's head and made it snap back Umaga style. Other than that, they really didn't...
God damn it, Will!
What?
At least call it as what it was. Rikishi-style bitch, not Umaga. Stop trying to be young.
Just pick
and
one of the
young
45
fans these
Samoans.
Days. Jesus.
Well, you could have used the Wild Samoans reference, man. Or Aki Johnson. You could have gone with Snuka's kids in the match. Get her involved, too.
Nick Anthony interruption aside.
Whoa. Who? No, Will, we don't know who you're talking about. Hush.
Never heard of them.
Anyways. Yeah, the Usos really didn't show me anything that would even make them worth feuding with the Hart Dynasty. And my other problem with this match was, again, Harry, the end spot at the match when, What's-Her-Face got up onto the, apron, and Harry, instead of just continuing with the sharpshooter, went retarded and said, "Her, I'm gonna stare at you."
Considering he's got Natty on his side of the ring, he stops and says, "I'm going to look at Snuka's daughter and go, huh?"
I mean, it was just a bad match, and I'm going to give it like a C-.
C-minus. The thing that stood out for me was the scoop slam by Natty Hart. Shades of Jim the Ham.
Superpowers.
All right, will you cut that out? Guys, you know, I'm not allowed to speak about Natalia's breasts because she is, after all, a very good close friend of mine. And you're all in for a collective ass-kicking next time I, or any time I ever see you.
And, of course, if you ever booked her on this show, these guys would never do that. Or would they?
You mean book her again on the show? Not with these guys. I'd have special guest co-hosts.
You'd have to keep Spug off for sure.
You'd be banning these guys, like if I got Lita booked on the WWE radio. Which I tried to do. I emailed her band's managers and said, I want to have her on. And Rock's like, then you got to have Willen Omega on. And I was like, no, because it'll get me thrown off the air forever.
Going back I can to control the myself.
Yeah. All right, back to the match.
I've never once talked about Natty's lovely double deckers.
You just did, smartass.
Only when it's funny.
Yeah. We only do it because we know Tim gives us such a great reaction.
Oh, you're just lucky that I don't get on the phone and call Tampa and get and talk to Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Boy, you guys would be in trouble.
Please, I could bloody run for 2 seconds before four freaking miles away from him.
Please.
The felt bastard can't even roll fast enough to catch anybody.
I'm going to be in Tampa on Friday. Please do it.
I will have a story forever
if the Anvil beats the hell out of me.
Okay, you know what? You guys drive me to drink.
Tim, what would you tell him? Hey, I know some guys that admire your daughter. Ooh.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't say it that way.
Certain section of your daughter, anyway.
Yeah, I'd say, hey, Jim, you want to talk to these guys? They're talking about your daughter's tits.
What's he going to do?
He probably talks about them for all we know. Hey.
He'd say, I don't want to hear you talking about my daughter's tits, and I'll have to spend 3 hours trying to explain to him it wasn't me who did it.
just one last thing about the match before we move on. There was a blind tag near the end of it by the Usos, but was it TJ that did it?
I think it was TJ.
Instead of doing the normal sunset flip, he's jumped over and actually turned himself around in mid-air to lock his feet underneath one of the Usos' friggin' arms and roll them up. It was actually a very spectacular way to change up the standard sunset flip roll-up.
Hmm. The one thing that I've noticed about Tyson Kidd, or as I know him, TJ Wilson, he seems to save his really great work in the ring for the big events, like the pay-per-views. I mean, sure, he looks good and he knows how to say he's really good at selling, on regular TV. Then you see him working a pay-per-view like tonight, and he just seems to find another level. Like, he just ups it a notch. You know what I mean, Alan? What do you think?
So you're saying he calls it in when he's at a house show or a Raw TV?
Mm-hmm.
I think the kid's great. I can't see, as much as I saw these guys when I was covering FCW in person, I saw TJ as a solo. I'm really liking them as a tag. I think he would get lost for a little while if he went solo and they'd put Harry off on his own, as we found out what happened to Harry on his own. So I think these guys should be keeping the belts, move them to SmackDown. I know someone mentioned in September they're on Rock. I mentioned, is that a September house show at the Garden? I think it's September 25th.
Mm-hmm.
That I read that on, and I was like, wow, look at that. SmackDown house show in the Garden, cool. And I don't know how long you keep the belts on them. They're keeping the credibility of the tag division alive, and it is kind of sad that it's all the former FCW kids. It's the Usos, it's the Dude Busters, it's these guys.
Uh-huh.
And then you throw a couple makeshift tag teams together. I don't know. I don't know what everybody else thinks of it, or do they just want to move on to the next match?
Well, I definitely like TJ's thing of holding stuff back and only bringing it out on pay-per-views. It's a smart way for people to wrestle. You know, sure, it might sound like that they're phoning it in on TV or they're phoning it in, it's house shows. But you want to have, you know, a small selection of your moveset that you're only willing to break out in big-time environments like pay-per-views, like title matches, because that adds to the entertainment value. It gets people wanting to see you do stuff like that more, and they're willing to wait until these big opportunities arrive to see it happen.
Unlike Marky Mark, who does it every match.
Exactly. Cena, we've said, fit, you know, there's always the big joke about Cena. Oh, Cena can't lose, learn more than four moves. He's like a Pokemon. But, you know, then you've got guys like TJ who turn around and go, you know, okay, we've got a big opportunity coming up. I'm going to break out this stuff that I've never shown anybody. And it gets people going, wow, did you see what happened with, you know, TJ? He's done this, this, and this. And then later on the match, then later on the night, you've had Cena who's just gone move one, move two, move three, move four. Oh, fuck, I'm out. You know, it's just, I like people who have that type of mindset that are willing to hold stuff back until they get the big opportunities to shine.
Well, you know, that brings up the question. That brings up the question, Mace. When was the last time that we saw something like that on a regular basis? I mean, you know, back as recently as 2001, we would grab a pay-per-view just so we could see our favorite wrestler pull off some moves that we know he's not going to do on Raw or SmackDown or Heat or Velocity or the WWF Experience or whatever. But
hey,
now,
I have jump to say off that this page. Years.
What was that, Mace? Go ahead.
Well, you don't see stuff like that anymore because everybody's doing formula. They're doing step one, step two, step three, step four, pinfall.
Yeah, but the day of the squash match is long over when you watched WWF Superstars when Bruno Sammartino and Vince McMahon did the show, or Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heaton did Wrestling Challenge. You're not going to see Iron Mike Sharp lay down to John Cena or, you know, someone like that. It's the way the stuff is booked. That people want competitive matches even on a superstar show. Like this past Superstars had Jericho and Yoshitatsu as their main event, which was very entertaining. So it's the way in the booking. Is that the squash match where the Road Warriors hit the ring and 30 seconds later they're in the back drinking a beer, long gone.
And it's unfortunate. I miss those days.
Yes, I'm kicking it old school on this show, damn it.
Well, it just, it goes back to the point that I was making about Tyson Kidd. There's a lot more to ring psychology than just what you do in the ring every night. It's the big picture. Psychology includes what you won't do and what you will do on regular television and what you save or don't save for a pay-per-view. That's something that people have never talked about before. We might wind up getting into a major discussion about this at some point in time down the road, because I think it's a very interesting topic. But
I tell you what, that psychology stuff, man. Okay.
I'll tell you this: either Alan or Tim get on the blower, grab Raven, bring him on the show to talk psychology, and that guy will talk for 16 hours about how you're supposed to do that type of stuff.
I've seen
why don't we put it down on our day timer to work on booking Raven for an upcoming episode of WTR Sunday Night.
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe after the ECW thing is finished up, and grab Al Snow as well, because I just want to see him put Spug in his place once again. But yes, there's more matches to do. So
Does anybody else on here have a grade 2 tear of their ankle right now? Because I know I do from watching this next match.
Oh, I think I've got a grade 3 tear after watching Rey Mysterio versus Jack Swagger at the World Heavyweight Championship, the SmackDown version of the title for WWE.
Dude, Kurt Swagger.
Yeah, Kurt Swagger. I'm sorry, this match did nothing.
I was hoping Jimmy Golden would come back out and play his daddy one more time. I was probably one of the few people that listens to this show that caught it. I'm sitting there going, I know that dude. I've seen him in Nashville. Where the hell have I seen him? And Rock's typing in, what do you want me to look up? I said, look up Jimmy Golden, because that sure the heck looks like him. He used to work Memphis for Lawler and the Jarretts. And sure enough, it was freaking Jimmy Golden playing his dad. I love having a I love having a wife who works. I love having a wife who works in the medical field. My wife's an activities director at an assisted living facility, and she also has a CNA and a patient care technician background. And when I told her, she's like, "So why is he gimping to the ring?" So they're claiming he has a grade 2 tear of his ankle tendons or whatever, and she's like, "There's no such freaking thing as that. What are they?" It's like, are they watching reruns of ER or something and going, "That sounds good, type."
You know, I said when this match was starting that Shawn Michaels, with a legitimate torn muscle in his knee, still wrestles better than Rey Mysterio with a fake leg injury.
Absolutely, and if his leg was so hurt and his ankle is so hurt, why the heck was he flip-flop flying all over the place like that? Unless
right.
He's hopped up on the Mexican drinking water.
There's this one spot where he jumped off the top rope, landed on Swagger on the floor, landed on his leg, and the announcers are going, "Oh, well, he tried to protect it. He tried to protect it by landing right on it."
Yep.
Yeah,
am I the only
one
seeing his head before he went out, so he got the Superman dust on him?
Am I the only one who is getting sick and tired every time Rey Mysterio gets a hold of the world championship? Remember, it's not the heavyweight championship when he holds the belt. But when he has it, that he is the weakest motherfucker on the planet. Seriously, this guy should be jobbing to the wind. He's so weak when he's.
And I never caught on to that until he said it halfway through the match. He typed it up there, and I'm going, "Yeah, wow." I'm thinking back to his first title run after Eddie Guerrero passed away, and they gave him the belt, and I was just like, "Holy cow! Yeah, he was. My 20-month-old daughter's stronger than him."
But they try to book this whole ultimate underdog thing, but the problem going that angle is that at some point he stops looking like an underdog. He just looks like absolutely powerless, talentless. What you book is the luckiest son of a bitch on the planet.
Yeah, the days of Mikey Ripwreck are gone. Ray Ray is not Mikey Ripwreck for your ECW fans out there.
Yeah, but that's because Mikey used to sell like a motherfucker. God bless him for doing so.
Mikey,
but Ray, yeah, that too. But Ray was looking like that that side of beef that Abyss brought to the ring on Impact. Pretty much just throwing that around.
Actually, you know what it is? It's the word of the night. Any Rey Mysterio match is formulaic as hell.
Pretty much.
Speaking of formulated, I think we all kind of noticed this during our little production chat that the match ended exactly like the Eddie Angle match at WrestleMania.
Yep.
Exactly.
We all kind
it.
Of commented on that.
Pulled it out right there.
Yeah, the what was he going? It looked like Swagger was going for a super power slam or something, and if you notice, there was no actual turnaround by Ray. That was Swagger spinning him around and going into the DDT off the top rope counter.
That was,
oh my god!
That just
moment
shows how strong Jack Swagger is.
That's where it should have ended. Right on the top rope.
Like Will just said, you know, it should have ended there and then. And because they went on with it, it dragged the match down.
Having seen him wrestle here in FCW, just in when I would go to workout sessions of theirs, he reminds me of a line that Ric Flair once said about Brock Lesnar. He doesn't know his own strength. And Jack Swagger, Jake Hager, whatever you want to call him, being a former amateur wrestler, he can just flip his hips, and it's like, whoa. I kept waiting for Rey Mysterio to go. I was hoping for one of those Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, throw him over slams, where he was on one side of the ring and he throws him up and Ray flies over the top rope onto Cole Striker and Lawler. It was like, touchdown, Oklahoma.
It's take home and a wrestler night here at the ECW Arena.
Pretty
there
much.
You go.
And whatever the heck that building's now called in Kansas City. I know I think Sprint Center or T-Mobile Center. So I know they changed the name since the tragedy that happened there.
Yeah, I got no knowledge of what they changed it to, but what's your final overall grade for this match?
Are we talking including the aftermath?
No, not
just
the match itself.
I give it a C plus. So I've never been a big fan of Rey Mysterio, even going back to his WCW days, and he had some kick-ass matches. But as everybody said, he's booked as a giant killer against Jack Swagger, who I guess this is that's what we're going to talk about in a minute or two. It was like, all right, the feud's over because of the next match. I think Swagger made Ray look like $1 million, and I guess that's what you're taught to do in your training class. Make yourself look good and make your opponent look just as good.
Very salient point. Mace, your turn.
Personally, I really didn't like this. I'm giving it a D because this is just like every other Rey Mysterio title match that we've seen before. I'm just really, really sick of seeing it happen this way. I'd rather see something fresh. I'd rather see something new. And believe me, we definitely got it after the match. Mm-hmm. But for the match itself, it was just the same old shit. So it's getting a D. It was entertaining, but it just wasn't anything that I would really want to sit there and watch. I actually started making my lunch at this point.
Okay, there you go, Omega.
Back to my trusty C minus. This is, again, I mean, it was an okay Mysterio match, which means it was subpar.
Okay. Will.
Rey Mysterio is basically the midget John Cena at this point. You know, what's it say about Jack Swagger when he can kick out of the biggest move in the match where he gets driven from the top rope to the mat head first, but what it takes is Rey Mysterio, as tiny as he is, sitting on his face to beat Jack Swagger. That makes no sense.
Maybe he had a chalupa before the match.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You never know. He may have some pepper spray rubbed on the back of his shorts or something. Chloroform.
There you go.
Stuff like that, it gets old, and the match itself was boring. And as May said earlier, after that one big spot, the match just really dragged out from there on in. It's easily a D.
Oh, it's a C-minus for me. Both guys, they played it safe where they're trying to sell Ray's second-degree tear or whatever.
Oh, that was... fuck that.
I know. Shut that shit up. Whatever.
Matt
but
Striker
still.
MD said it was a brutal injury, and I don't know. I didn't know. He's a teacher. Maybe he went and got him a doctor's degree while he was off
job. No. Striker gets a D-minus for trying to sell the bullshit angle that most people with a grade 2 education would figure out differently. but let's talk about what happened afterwards. This relates to the first match of the night. Yeah, Kane came out. There is a beatdown going on after the match is over, courtesy of Swagger on Mysterio. Kane comes out to make the save, but no, he doesn't make the save. He cashes in the Money in the Bank.
Hey, Alan. Explain it properly, Tim. He came out, he chased off Swagger first, all the way
no
to
theme,
the backstage
no
area. Yeah, no theme, no music. Chased him all the way to the back. We thought that all of a sudden the WWE writers had gone ballistic and thought, yeah, let's throw a great opportunity out the window. Then all of a sudden, the music comes, the pyro goes kaboom, and here comes Kane with a briefcase.
Which was
And he
stupid.
Hands it over. Hey, we were all marking out, even you, Alan, so don't
I was
you
marking out,
stupid.
But it was just kind of pointless to have him run all the way out there, braid off, run Jake Hager off, and it was almost
That was a red herring, man. That was a red herring, making you think that the writers had gone loopy and decided not to do the logical conclusion.
Listen here, Alfred.
No. Also, Kane had fucking chokeslammed Swagger's quote-unquote dad. Would Kane want Jack Swagger able to interfere in his cashing in? You take out Swagger, you've got yourself 100% injured Rey Mysterio to take advantage of. nothing's going to stop you.
Yeah, but all he had to do is do what Swagger did to Edge when he beat Jericho. Lay him out at the ringside area. Some ladders are underneath.
Did you notice?
The ladders are underneath the ring. Grab the ladders. Smash them on him again. I don't know. I'm happy that the title changed hands the way it did. I just don't understand this. Let me run all the way to the back. Okay, now hit my music so I can make marshmallows for everybody in the front row. We'll toast them. And then I walk all the way back out with my briefcase. Now I'm going to cash it in on the little gimpy guy with no boot on.
Now, number one, yes, it's a swerve. It's making you think, oh, he's just going after Swagger. He's been doing it for weeks. But then if he had come out with the briefcase originally, you go, oh, well, he's cashing in right now, and there goes the shock. To actually bring him out and then have him head back to the back, and you think, oh, well, bit's over, next match. Then the music hits, he comes out with the briefcase. Then it's a moment. Otherwise, it's just another thing they're doing. I thought it was a much smarter way of doing it.
Threw me for a curve, and I'll tell you what, I was happy to see it happen the way it happened. I was ready to sit there and start ripping the shit out of the writers for not going the logical route, and then when they did, I'm like, hey, fine, I'm marking out like a motherfucker.
Yeah, well, we all really were.
It works because it sets up what we're all hoping is going to happen at SummerSlam anyway, and I don't know if Tim wants to go into that or not.
Yeah, we'll go into that after we finish breaking down the pay-per-view. So Kane comes up, and Kane is your new world, and pay attention to the word, heavyweight champion.
Can you call him super heavyweight?
No, you can't call him super heavyweight.
He's over 300 pounds, man. Put super on there. Oh, that's only for Cena. He's a super champion.
So what grade would you give Kane being the champion, Alan?
After the horrible match we watched, anything was better. I'd give it a B+.
There you go. Mace.
For going the route that we really thought wasn't going to happen tonight, I'm giving him an A. That was very well done, and hell, when you have everybody who was watching it marking out, you've done your job properly.
There you go. Omega.
Well, I'm not sure how much of a match you could call it. When they cash in the Money in the Bank, it's pretty much just a promo that's designed to change the belt over to a new holder. But as that goes, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and maybe it's just me wanting to see Mysterio turned into Roadkill, but I enjoyed it more than the match he just had. So, I don't know. As matches go, you know, it's pretty lame, but as a spot, as a moment, B+. It was fun.
There you go. Will.
This was easily Rey Mysterio's best match in quite some time.
when he got steamrolled like he should.
Kane, oh my world goodness. Champion after 12 years. That's an A moment right there.
There you go. Yeah, well, that definitely deserves something hefty. Give it an A. Right before we take our second time out of the night, welcome to the show, the one and the only Spug finally joining us. Spug, we've already broken down the first, what is it, 5 matches. Everybody else has given their letter grades. Why don't we run through this really, really quick with you? You were at your friend's place, I guess, watching the pay-per-view?
I was.
All right, so the first match, the money, SmackDown Money in the Bank, your thoughts and your letter grade.
I was impressed to see Big Show lug that ladder around.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Because I have it on good authority that that ladder really was weighing about 350 pounds. And
okay.
So I give him credit for lugging that thing around. And two, that match, with the two big men, Kane and Big Show in it, working with the littler guys, did excellent. I give it an A-.
Okay, an A- for that match. That's pretty darn close to what everybody else gave it. Second match, WWE Divas Championship, Alicia Fox retaining over Eve.
Didn't watch it.
Don't blame you.
Good man.
Okay, yeah, so that was, it actually got a failing grade from at least one member of the panel. Tag team championship match, Hart Dynasty versus the Usos.
I watched it. I was slightly impressed. I'm going to say a B-. I think they could have done more together. The ending was a little bit sloppy.
Okay.
I think there could have... The interference from Natty just seemed, well, dumb.
Okay.
So, I give it a... I give that one a B-.
Okay. And the Rey Mysterio-Jack Swagger match?
The match itself is an A-.
Wow.
It was a good match. It was well done, well executed. The only thing that I wasn't a fan of in that match was the ripoff of the No Way Out moment from about 5 years ago between Eddie and Kurt. Because it was exact same thing.
WrestleMania 20.
No, it wasn't. That wasn't at a WrestleMania.
It was at WrestleMania because that's the trick he used to retain the belt against Angle.
I thought it was the trick he used to win the belt.
No, he didn't win the belt. Ben Wong won the belt that year.
At No Way Out.
No, he wanted it No Way Out over Angle.
No, he wanted it No Way Out, but the trick that...
Lesnar.
Yeah, he beat Lesnar with that.
He beat Lesnar.
Then he beat Angle at Mania with that trick. That's he.
All right, relax. 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 Got my dates wrong. Shut your fucking mouth.
Okay, kids, don't get in the fucking tizzy now.
Anyway, but I didn't like the fact that they're continually trying to tie Eddie and Ray together. I wish they would end it already. Eddie's been dead, what, 5 years now? Close to it?
Yeah.
So, just get rid of it. Get rid of this stupid tie. That was the only thing I wasn't a fan of. In that match.
Okay.
And then Kane coming out and whooping Ray's ass. I was like, it's about goddamn time he wins a title.
Okay, so give Kane coming out and winning the title a grade.
A.
There you go.
Because as Will said, it was one of Rey Mysterio's greatest matches in the last 10 years.
There you go. Absolutely. All right, we're going to take our second time out of the night and then finish off with the rest of the pay-per-view. And then go from there. Everybody, you'll listen to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hey Omega, did you hear that OWW Radio has a new host?
A new host? Really?
Well, yes and no. He's the old host, but he's now the new host. So, on behalf of the Wild Talk Radio Network, I would like to introduce the new host of OWW Radio, Alan Wojnarowski.
No, Mace, you have it wrong. It's Alan Wojnarowski.
Are you sure? I thought it was Alan Wojnarowski.
The name is Alan Wojcik. How many times do I have to spell it out for you people? As these guys are trying to tell you, I'm the host of Online World of Wrestling Radio, which airs on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Tuesday night, around 9-ish, I guess, Eastern Time, remember we're on Eastern Time, till basically me and whoever's joining me runs out of stuff to say. It's a brand new era in Online World of Wrestling Radio, where your opinion actually matters.
As the owner of Wild Talk Radio, I'd like to welcome Alan Wojcik. Who the fuck is Internet Dave's?
The name is Wojcik.
To the Wild Talk Radio Network. You know my name.
Have a certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with WrestleTalk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History Of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History Of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio.
Damn that rock. He hasn't finished his chores yet. Which means I'm taking control of this network. Which, of course, means more country. Anyway, continue listening to all the great programming right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to you, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah, it's me, your host with the most, the one, the only, the MVP of the WTR, Tim Stein. It's been a long time since somebody called me the MVP of the WTR. Hey, anyway, well, what the hell? Taking a look at the last couple of matches of Money in the Bank, the WWE pay-per-view tonight. The next match up, we got the WWE Women's Championship. We've got half of Lay Cool versus, you're not seeing double, her name really is, Kelly Allen.
Why?
Continue.
Why? Why?
I'll tell you why.
Why are the beautiful people rip off people getting time on this pay-per-view? This just in. I want to know, I asked in the chat, the production chat, so now that Michelle McCool is Michelle McCool Calloway, does she get inherit the Undertaker's powers to raise the lights, lower the lights, become dead and then resurrected? I mean, because I'd like her to become dead.
I don't think that's sexually transmitted, Alan.
Damn, I wish it was, because I want.
Wait a second. How did Lita come into this equation?
I have no problem with Layla. It's Michelle McCool. And I've never been a fan of Kelly. I have no idea why she's even under a contract, other than she was in that extreme expose dance thing they did with Candice Michelle. And it was like, huh? Once again, it was another match that was thrown on there to go, okay, we need to fill before the Raw match, so let's throw the girls to the dogs.
Okay, there you go. What was your grade on this one?
Incomplete, because I really didn't watch all of it. I was too busy going, God, this match is going to be horrible.
Okay, there you go. Spug!
I didn't see a single moment of this match. I was out back talking with a buddy of mine about putting the landscape in for him.
Again, oh, sounds like... Go ahead, Will.
I already had to see this match last Sunday at a house show.
Question is, Will, is it the exact same match?
No, it wasn't. In fact, I think it was actually worse. Let's see. Michelle McCool was there. That's bad. She didn't have that giant blue medicine ball from Sunday. That was bad. I think the only good thing out of this match is that Layla won.
I believe great. The spot where you give it a letter grade?
I don't even want to grade it. Sucked. D minus.
Okay, there you go, Omega.
This one I couldn't watch because I was too busy looking at the inside of my eyelids. It was far
wow.
more interesting.
There you go. Okay.
This match is getting a rounding ovation of indifference.
Yes, a resounding sound of indifference echoing throughout the Wild Talk Radio Network at this point in time. Mace!
I'm going to give this one a big fat F for foul!
There you go.
I have a question. Considering that you have Layla and Michelle McTaker co-holding the Women's Championship, if one of them loses it, do we get the whole two titles, one being an imposter belt, the other being the real belt, like they did with Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels back at WrestleMania 10 type scenario?
Oh, does anybody want to touch that?
Do you really want to see a women's ladder match?
We already
that could be amusing.
More amusing than the
match.
We already have an imposter women's title. It's called the Divas Championship.
well done, sir. Well done. But just how do they... Like, I don't even think it was Layla who won in the first place. Wasn't it McCool who won the belt?
No, Layla was the one who beat Phoenix. And then McCool's like, I'm champ too! Yay!
Okay. And by the way, at the end of the match when they're doing their little celebration, Layla looking like she's having a friggin' a seizure on the floor, Matt Stryker's commentary, his little kissy-kissy dovey bullshit, anybody think he's just finally acting his sexual preference?
I'm not going to touch that.
Yeah, no one is.
I'll take a pass. Thanks for bringing it up, though.
Well, screw you all, then! Fucking bunch of retards.
There you go. All right. Well, moving on, kiddies. The next match is the Raw Money in the Bank, and I know you're all champing at the bit to talk about this one, especially you, Alan.
Oh, this match was awesome. This was the best ladder match. Best Money in the Bank ladder match. I can't say best ladder match, but best Money in the Bank match. And as I said, if this match had opened the pay-per-view, it would have been everybody walk, the old Shawn Michaels line of when he became one of the main guys, he would have walked in the locker room, threw down something and said, top that, bitches, because that's what it did. It blew everybody out of the water. And the funny part was, I said on Sunday night, I picked Teddy. I was wrong. DiBiase didn't win. But I remember saying on the show, I said it on Tuesday. I said, wouldn't it be funny if at some point Maryse gets involved and tries to win the match? And sure enough, she flung off them platforms and said, I'm going up that ladder. And then John Morrison was suddenly like, you're not my girlfriend, but I'll gently take you down from here.
He enjoyed the view.
Oh, I'm sure he did, considering his on-again, off-again girlfriend is down here in FCW rehabbing.
What's your letter grade on this one? I missed that.
A. Absolute A.
There you go. Okay. Spud, break it down, man.
You know, I've never seen eight individuals better complement each other and use the utensils provided to them in a better fashion than I did in that match. The thing that amazed me about that particular match that I didn't see in the SmackDown match was, you know, Mark Henry in the Raw match, they all worked with him so well, and it amazed me as to how, you know, you saw him do it with Kane and Big Show a little bit in the SmackDown match, but they used Henry's ability and size to the match's advantage. Not to their advantage, but to the match's advantage. And the biggest part of that was that little three-move flurry on the outside where Henry got caught with that vicious kick by Morrison and then the Codebreaker by Jericho and eventually the spear by Edge. I've never seen anybody move that much girth around that quickly. I mean, his feet
was held by Mania tonight, though.
Yeah.
You know, there was another one later on.
Henry's feet came off the ground a good 4 feet. And you didn't see that much in the SmackDown match. And I was proud of the Raw guys at the match that they put on. I thought it was a great match. I have to give that one an A+.
Okay, there you go, an A+. Yeah, go ahead.
The only bitch I have about that match, and it's not necessarily a bitch, as it more of it is an objective opinion, is we could have done without the Miz promo at the end. And quite honestly, there were a couple of people in that match that probably deserved to go over more than Miz did.
Oh, interesting. Okay, Mace.
This one was extremely impressed with. You know, it was, like I said, with the SmackDown one, the SmackDown guys would have been standing there watching the Raw guys set up their spots and going, okay, we're screwed because we can't top that. I think Alan that said it, you know, Shawn Michaels walking in the backstage area, throwing shit down and going, top that, bitches. It definitely was that type of match. You know, we were all excited. We were amazed at the type of stuff that were going on. You know, you had Henry eating the kick, the code breaker, and the spear. Then later on you had, I think it was Jericho ate the RKO, but the second Randy's landed, you had Bourne hit the shooting star, you know. It was amazing the way that they flowed everything together tonight. The one little gripe that I would have with it would be the base construction of the Eiffel Tower that was being done by the end of the match. May have been too many ladders in there tonight.
Interesting. So, yeah,
A+ on the letter grade.
Okay, there you go. A+, Omega.
I pretty much have to agree with that sentiment. I mean, it was a fantastic match, and there were some amazing spots. I mean, yeah, Henry taking all of those moves all that fast, that was a cool spot. The RKO right into the shooting star. Evan had to fire that shooting star before Orton even landed in order to hit it that fast. So those two guys setting up that spot so perfectly, that was awesome. Orton in general had a lot of RKOs in this match that were really harder and more impactful than an RKO really should be. But, yeah, everything was set up. This is the antithesis to the first Money in the Bank match where, you know, it isn't some, okay, let's set this up. Okay, now we're going to crash. All right, now let's set the next one up. Things flowed better. Things went from one into the next. And it got a little ridiculous when they started constructing the Erector set in the middle of the ring. But otherwise, yeah, this was a really well-constructed match, and I was actually very happy to be very wrong about this one. For those listening last week, my concern was this was going to turn Money in the Bank into just a cheap way of getting guys who don't need a reason to be in a title match, an easy way of getting into a title match without a storyline. So I was very thankful that Kane got a push. I'm very thankful that Miz was the one that walked away with this Money in the Bank. So, yeah, all around A from me. He tore the house down on this one.
Oh, there you go.
Would anybody would have been upset if anyone other than the former world champs that were in the match had won this? Would we have been upset if Evan Bourne or Teddy or Morrison had taken this thing? Because for a while there, some of us were sitting there going, "Ah, crap! Randy Orton's gonna win again. Edge is gonna win again. Jericho's gonna win again." I think Miz is ready. He's
oh yeah.
He's come for a guy that is a reality show person and has gone under a major makeover in his entire time in the company, from his reality check character to his basically ripping off a Georgia Florida wrestler named Danny Only. If you look up Danny online, you'll see when the Mizanin came out with the hat and the shorts and everything. I turn to some friends in the Florida area and go, "Somebody get Danny Only on the phone, because somebody just ripped him off." And then turning him into, well, everybody else right now with ring shorts on. I was kind of sitting there like everybody else maybe was going, "Oh, great, now he's going to talk." It was a great way to stall to get all the ladders out of the ringside area. He could have walked it up to the rampway and done it, or they could have cut to him backstage instead of having him do his own little Saturday Night Live opening monologue. I can't see him cashing it in on Monday. I'd love to see him stretch this out for a little while, especially the first things first, get the U.S. belt off him before he goes and does any Money in the Bank shots.
Anybody?
Well, I believe I said that they'd need at least a minimum of 6 months of him holding the briefcase to get it over to elevate the character, because I could see a character like The Miz basing all his promos and everything he does around the fact that he has the Money in the Bank briefcase and he will cash it in at any point when he believes it's time. You know, this is almost very reminiscent of trying to push Jericho in the early days. You know, it has a lot of potential, and I hope they don't pull the trigger on it too soon.
Ah, okay. Hey, Will, we haven't heard from you about this match yet, have we?
No, you haven't.
Well, it's your turn, so start talking, kid.
Oh, man. You know, I was probably the highest on the SmackDown ladder match, but it did have its flaws, and this match took everything that the SmackDown ladder match may have done wrong, and it got everything right. You know, there were very few points where the ring had maybe one person in it, or maybe two people in it. You know, you didn't see someone get hit and then, you know, get punched in the face and disappear for 10 minutes. No, everyone kept in the match. It's like everyone said, it was very fluid, very well thought out. Everything flowed together perfectly. The spots were innovative. I mean, we were all sitting there watching this match going, I've never seen that before. You know, we watched Morrison get put into a ladder and have another ladder slammed on top of him. You know, we've seen the we've seen Miz put the ladders up on the side of the ring, and we watched Morrison do something that Benjamin or someone else would have botched easily. You know, it just everything worked so well, and, you know, Orton's RKOs were devastating, you know. Mark Henry, you know, remember, what Mania was it when he was in the Money in the Bank? Was it 25 or 26?
I thought it was the past one.
Yeah, was it the past one? I remember we were all watching it, and we were like, oh man, Henry's gonna ruin this match, he's gonna hurt somebody, and yet here we are in this match, where he held his own so well, and he moved around so well, it was absolutely surprising considering what we were thinking would have happened the last time we saw him in a ladder match. And then, of course, what did I say last week? When I picked Miz, everyone was like, yet here we are. Miz is Mr. Money in the Bank. Easily, this match, A+, easily.
There you go. So, everybody's thinking that this was definitely the better of the two ladder matches. Yeah, don't think there's going to be too much of a disagreement with that.
No
disagreement. I left it open for you guys to disagree. You didn't disagree. So, that brings us to the final match of the night, the match that should have been held in the 1980s Blue Bars of Death. We're talking about Sheamus versus John Cena, WWE Championship match in a steel cage. Alan.
Yeah, I'm the one who brought that up because I said, did anybody miss those matches? I know the storyline was to keep the Nexus out because the Nexus is bad. And is this my imagination, or is this one of the Cyclone barbed wire cage, the meshing fence matches that in recent memory that nobody bled? I don't know if anybody can answer that for me because I don't remember one.
The match didn't stop, so there was no blood. So.
That was sometimes when you got, I think you had mentioned it. It's like, if somebody bleeds in the cage, will they have to stop it?
No, that was me.
Oh, it was you. Okay. I mean, they pulled Alex Riley Tuesday night out of the NXT match because his cut that Caval gave him in an FCW tape and popped open again. I'm very happy that Marky Mark didn't feel the vibration and walk out with the belt for the 199th time. I'm sure he's going to get it back at SummerSlam because now he'll go, damn, I lost to this guy in a tables match and I lost in a cage match. I mean, did anybody else think that he was going to turn and go, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha? He's almost trying to make, I don't know if I feel like this is Cena turning heel, turning into the Christian jump around the ring and pout and cry because I lost thing. And in his way of losing was, let me beat up the NXT guys. Yeah, I can't beat up anybody else, so I'll take out Darren Young, Justin Gabriel, and Michael Tarver. While everybody else is running in the back with Sheamus going, let's grab that guy. Ah, crap.
And get the marshmallow.
The hair makes him too fast. And told a good story, but I'm so over Cena even being anywhere near the belt. Let somebody else have a chance, for God's sake. Oh, wait, that's coming at SummerSlam, the guy possibly getting another chance. I'm foreshadowing, and Spug's not here to kill me. He killed me Tuesday night when I brought it up.
There you go. He's not here, so nobody can kill you.
All right, he'll kill me Tuesday, though.
There you go. Let him kill you Tuesday.
Absolutely.
So what was your grade on this one?
I give it a B. I can't give it any higher because Marky Mark was in it, man. And
okay,
He hulked up. I was waiting. If he starts shaking Ultimate Warrior style, I would have given it a little higher, but he didn't hulk up properly.
No, he didn't do it the right way. There you go. Will, you're next because we know how much you love John Cena.
Actually, I was going to say Alan's starting to sound like me.
I've never liked them. Never in all the years. Even having met the guy in person. It was just like, yeah, you're nothing. Go away. You're stealing everybody else's gimmicks. Stole Cole Cabana's shoes. Stole that gimmick right out from underneath them. Sorry.
Well, first of all, I know Mace will disagree with me instantly, but, he won't disagree on this part. I don't think you need to have a cage match with both the escape and the pinfall submission rules. You need one or the other. You know, if they just put this cage match as, look, y'all can beat the hell out of each other, we're going to put it up to keep the Nexus out, it's pinfall submission. You leave the cage, you may as well be jumping into the sharks. But, you know, for a John Cena-Sheamus match, which we've seen plenty of, this was actually pretty decent, especially considering the match we had right before it, which completely stole the show. Cena did his thing, and I pointed out at this point I've become completely apathetic to it. You know, but actually at one point it did look like Cena was about to bleed on his right eyebrow, and that's when I said, are they going to stop the match if he starts bleeding? You would have seen a full-scale riot. But, you know, like I said, for Cena-Sheamus match, it was decent. I'm probably going to give it a B myself. And actually, truth be told, I'm glad John Cena is getting mad and beating the hell out of the Nexus. Because you know what? It's a change from his, look at me, I'm Mr. Goody Two Shoes, I'm all for the kids, I'm the Marine. No, get angry, fuck someone's day up. I might actually start liking you.
There you go.
Is that the next title of the new WWE movie? Fuck Someone's Day Up, starring John Cena.
Starring John Cena. Interesting.
I might watch that.
Okay, Omega?
I'm going to go with the crowd here and give it a B. It's a formulated Cena match and a clusterfuck ending, but at least, at the very least, it was an entertaining one. I was kind of happy to see Cena completely go Hulk after the match. And so it was in chat room, watch him turn green now, which I was waiting for. I was waiting for right about the time he was throwing ring steps around.
Oh, for Cena to yell out loud, Cena smash!
That would have made it so great.
Hey, they got special effects on the truck. They could have turned them green. The audience in the building would have had a clue.
Oh, well, they just like shine a green spotlight on him. It'd work.
Oh, hell yeah.
He's pale enough, it would work.
No, that would be Sheamus.
No, you shine any light on Sheamus, it just shines right through him. That's how white he is.
I keep waiting to watch an infomercial on tanning equipment and seeing Sheamus show up.
Never happened. Are you kidding?
All you see, look at me now.
Look at me, I match my hair with my skin color.
Yeah, I was just thinking the orange skin tone from the fake spray-on shit.
I saw the stuff thinking of Triple H, Undertaker, and Shawn Michaels.
Bad. All right, maybe so where
maybe
were
that,
we?
Maybe that'll be like how Carlito would come out. If he's a face, it's a red apple. If he's a heel, it's a sour apple. Maybe Sheamus will come out orange spray tan when he's a good guy, and pale white when he's a bad guy.
He'll bring the battle axe he was using in FCW out.
Alright, so who's next? Mace.
Yeah, well, everybody else has pretty much bagged every reason under the sun for it. You know, this was not... This was a formulaic Cena match with... what did we end up calling him? Marshmallow Joe? Mayo Joe? Because at some point... Because at some point, Sheamus channeled Samoa Joe with that sleeper hold. Talking back to Piper and Hogan at... I believe it was Super Brawl in 98. We were all waiting for that horrible, horrible style finish to happen.
Can I interject real quick?
Yeah, go for it, Will.
I know Tim was like probably groaning. I just want to ask, if you're on someone's back and you have your legs wrapped around him and he starts to get up, would the logical thing be not to put your legs back on the ground and get your leverage back and not let him climb up a cage with you hugging him?
I actually would have liked to have seen the other camera angle from, like, a cage cam up top of Sheamus probably sitting there going, don't you drop me, you jerk off!
Coyote cam only exists in TLC matches. But one thing I will say about Cena is he's got to stop actually screaming out his calls during matches. At one point, I heard so clearly, hard whip into the corner, I'll eat an elbow. And what happens straight after? Sheamus goes hard into the turnbuckle, comes back out with a back elbow to Cena's face, and he practically ate his elbow.
I need to put my headset on when I watch these matches now, because I would have probably heard it.
Yeah, and even Will picked it up. I'm going to put it down to training that you know how to listen for these guys calling, but for Cena, sometimes he forgets that you got to be somewhat quiet when making your calls during matches.
Because the audience is so quiet.
Yeah, pretty much. In the end, this was really formulaic with a clusterfuck ending. And I'm going to give it a D. For duh.
D for duh. All right.
Formulaic, word of the night.
As opposed to vintage.
Yeah, well, okay, so we'll adopt formulaic and leave vintage to Cole. Sound good?
Formulaic, John Cena.
Yeah, can we? Yeah, I want to see Cole spin that.
Might fit a little better. Alrighty then.
This would be the final thoughts, final letter grade.
Final letter grade.
Well, seeing as I brought it up, I might as well start it off. as we've said tonight, the word of the night is formulaic, as opposed to last week where the words of the night were very solid wrestling. my overall grade for this one is a C for this pay-per-view, because when I compare this pay-per-view, which, yes, it had some real exciting matches, but there are only two very exciting matches, as opposed to TNA, where every match was solid and exciting. And, frankly, the TNA one got me to say something that I would vow on air never to say again. As opposed to this one, which I'm like, meh. So, in the end, I think WWE pay-per-view, go down the toilet, flush TNA.
Yay! There you go, yeah. All right, so that final grade in. Alan, what's yours?
B-minus, Raw's Money in the Bank match saved it from being below C+. That I'll watch that match over and over and over. Absolutely phenomenal stuff.
Hey, there you go. All right, Omega.
C, right down the middle. There was this whole event was just so back and forth between some really standard formulated stuff and some really brilliant booking. I thought, the last Money in the Bank match was great. They did a lot of new stuff. They did a very fast paced match, and you had Kane, and I liked the psych out of coming out to attack Swagger and then coming back out to finish the match to win the world title, and that was the setup that had to be done. I mean, we were waiting for someone to cash in the Money in the Bank on the same night they won it, and it finally happened here. It's actually not only does it give Kane a really good pay-per-view moment, it also keeps you from having two people going around calling themselves Mr. Money in the Bank, which, you know, is only going to help the Miz out better. That is very smart booking. But then you've got the tag match, the women's matches, and the first Money in the Bank is just so, same shit, different day. You had great stuff, and then you had meh. It's like the writers were only trying half the time. So, see.
Okay. There you go. Will. That's a hint. Go ahead. Go.
Yeah. Really, I'm gonna echo everyone else's sentiments. I mean, just through the whole week waiting for this pay-per-view, I knew there were just two matches I wanted to see. Both of them were the Money in the Bank ladder matches. And they did not disappoint. The rest of the card, however, And, if you were going to pay money for this and you're expecting a good pay-per-view, you're probably going to be losing a good piece of change. We got three good matches. We got Kane World Champion, two Money in the Banks. For that, I'll give it a C. The rest of the pay-per-view, though, whoa. Ugh.
Yes?
Oh, no, I'm saying the pay-per-view is C, whole.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Overall, yeah, I can't say that it's worth spending your money to get the entire replay. If they could offer, package prices, you can order three of the matches, then I would say, yeah, go for it. And the three matches I would pick would definitely be both the cage, ladder matches, and definitely not the Ray Swagger match. The third match I would pick would have to be the main event, the cage match. Those would be the three worth watching. So 3 out of 7 is basically what I'm telling you. 3 out of 7, that's nowhere near a C. It's not worth your money to get the replay. That's all I can say, guys.
Very good.
I think we all agreed.
Yeah. Oh, do we have Spud back on his phone now?
I have no interweb.
You lost your interweb. Okay, well, I'm glad that you're back. Spud, we're just going to our next break of the evening, and then come back. We're going to be doing some great debating. You ready for that?
I don't get to give my letter in?
Well, I was thinking, seeing as the music's already playing, what we'll do is we'll come back with you and let you give your letter grade to start the next segment. Sound good?
That's fine.
All right, everybody, you listen to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after these messages. Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
So, every day I get all these emails here at CindySin.com. Let me read you the latest one I got. Dear Cindy, Cindy, I just wanted to say you are such an awesome person. And, wait, Rock, didn't I tell you to stop emailing me? Oh, this isn't from Rock. This is from someone named Steve. Anyway, if you have any questions about dating, relationships, or sex, email me today by going to my website, CindySin.com.
A moment you won't forget. Don't miss out. Tweet your friends right on their walls. Spread the word for a can't-miss moment.
Yes, I'm glad Rock's recording because this will be probably one of the only times you'll ever hear me say that I was actually impressed by Mr. Anderson tonight. He did very well. They set up the Jeff Hardy splash in the corner thing, and at the last possible second, Anderson gets up, grabs Hardy in a power slam, dropped him down for a quick two count, and I was impressed, sir.
Join Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right before the break, I promised Spud we'd let him give his overall final thoughts and letter grade on tonight's pay-per-view. Spud, go ahead.
I give it a B.
A D?
And yes, a B. Because five out of seven matches were watchable and passable. The two Money in the Banks, the two championship matches, and the tag team championship match. Therefore, if you go by your theory, Tim, paying for that pay-per-view was worth it. It was worth the $35 that pay-per-view cost, $40, whatever it is now. If only two of the matches were impassable, and we all know what two matches those were, and those haven't been passable in years, so it's really not that big of a deal, you know you're going to get a couple of stinkers in it. The pay-per-view was worth it. Look, I'm not saying it was WWE's best pay-per-view offering, but it certainly is one of the better ones that they've had in the last 4 months. The best one they put out since WrestleMania.
Hmm. Very interesting.
I will say this. I did get a chance to see TNA Stadium from last weekend, and while it was good, while it was a good pay-per-view, WWE's quality of pay-per-view. Hold on.
Now, I think Spug had another call coming in, guys.
Well, that's good timing.
Yeah. I also think Spug must be drinking the WWE Kool-Aid. Seriously?
He's back.
I had a number that was restricted, and I thought it was my brother calling from overseas.
Mm.
My brother is stationed in the southern point of Saudi Arabia right now, and so I thought he was calling me. He's just a little bit more important.
Absolutely. Okay, well, your excuse. Your excuse, because, yeah, that's an important thing. Your brother's in Saudi Arabia. If he calls you and says, what the fuck are you doing? Answer the phone. You should answer the phone.
Yeah, but no. The latest WWE pay-per-view offering, while above their standard normally, has been way above what TNA has consistently offered. And this isn't me bashing TNA. This is me being objective and having an opinion. WWE, you know, while they don't always offer fantastic pay-per-views, and most of them are stinkers, and most of them you wouldn't spend the money on, you just find other means to watch it, this one I thought completely different of and thought it was worth the money.
Okay, well, hey, that's absolutely no problem at all, being able to voice your opinion. Everybody, speaking of which, you want to voice your opinion? We got a brand new toll-free line, and the toll-free number 877-588-9877. If you want to call WTR Sunday Night and talk about just about anything wrestling-related or WWE pay-per-view-related, call that line and hit option number 3. If you got Skype, you live overseas, say you're in Scotland and you want to call and say, oh, you've got great accents there, laddies. Whatever. Use Skype and add Sir Rockin' to your Skype to be able to get a hold of the show. That being said, I think it's time we moved on to our next little bit for the night. It's the WTR Great debate.
The bell has sounded for this week's great debate.
WrestleTalk Radio goes down south to find the all-time greatest WCW champion.
What are you going to do when the power of all these Hulkamaniacs and Hulk Hogan runs wild on you? What are you going to do?
But to be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo!
Do you disagree with what we have to say? Then interact with us live on the WTR toll-free line. Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
Yeah, there it is, the intro. Woohoo! The WTR Great Debate. Looking for the greatest WCW champion of all time. And moving on up the ladder, we've got Ric Flair facing off against, yes, believe it or not, we're actually going to do this, Chris Benoit tonight. In our other match, Randy Savage scores off against the total package, Lex Luthor. Randy Savage versus Lex Luger. And we're going to start with that matchup tonight. And we're going to start with Will.
You know, I looked at the list for the people in the great debate. And truth be told, I'm still wondering why Chris Benoit is even on here. You know, it has nothing to do with what happened and the tragedy that took his family. It has to do with the fact that when the man won the championship, he disappeared the next day and vacated the title itself. You know, there are plenty of other men who easily outrank Benoit as world champions in WCW. And, you know, for that reason alone, Ric Flair goes over with no contest.
For that reason and that reason alone, it's 1-0. Ric Flair, Omega.
Yeah, I'm voting for Flair, too. This one's an absolute no-brainer. Flair was the guy you put the belt on every single time you needed to because you knew he was going to be a great champion, and he carried that belt great. He made that belt what it is. Unfortunately, Chris Benoit's title reign with that belt was pretty much just as a last-ditch attempt to get him to go, to get him to stay with WCW rather than jumping ship over to WWF. Did not work, and that was the end of that little title run. So,
yeah.
Easily, Flair.
There you go. 2-0 for Flair. All right, let's keep moving up the ladder. Mace.
Yeah, definitely going to throw this one to Flair because, as Will said, you know, Benoit won the belt and then disappeared. So, frankly, if the guy doesn't want to be champion, well, then I'm not going to pick him to move on. Flair gets it.
There you go. Flair, Flair, Flair! Spug on the telephone.
Unanimous.
Ric Flair, not even going to even take a look at any distinct differences. Alan.
Ric Flair is God. Move on.
There you go. Well, you know, I'm the final say, and because I'm a Canadian and I'm only 3 hours away from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, which is the birthplace to Chris Benoit, I'm going to make it unanimous. It's Ric Flair.
Now you see why I wanted this one.
To Calgary and shut your Canadian ass.
I just had to tease the fuck out of you guys on that one. Nobody expected me to pick Benoit. Come on, did you?
You are Canadian.
Yeah, and you are American.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Mace.
You do pick your Canadian brethren for no apparent reason whatsoever.
Other than they deserve it when they deserve it. Go ahead, Mace, you were going to say something.
No, don't worry. Move on.
Okay, here you go. So, unanimous decision. Ric Flair moves on. All right, now we are going to do Randy Savage taking on Lex Luger. We'll start with Alan.
This one's tough, but I'm going with the total package Lex Luger, being that he got the belt after Ric Flair walked. Take your time machine back to how he got the belt the first time. He didn't even win the WCW World Heavyweight title.
he won the Western State Heritage Heavyweight title belt that they turned into the WCW World title belt at the Bash. I think it was Bash 91 that he beat Barry Windham in the cage. And the crowd is killing the entire match, screaming, "We want Flair, we want Flair." So I think Savage was just WCW. Hey, he was from WWF. Fans know him. Let's throw the belt on him. I'm going to probably be the only one that's going to go with Luger in here, but over his entire career, I was a bigger fan of Lex Luger. I know Eric Bischoff wasn't. I know some other people that weren't. But if you put a Rick or Lex Luger WCW match on TV with me at the time that he was winning the belt in 91 and go forward, and put Randy Savage on TV from 91 forward, chances are I'm probably going to watch the Lex Luger match. So I will now let the other members of this panel throw me under a bus at the Main Event gym in Atlanta, Georgia.
There you go. All right, Spud, your turn.
I'm going to vote for Randy Savage.
Okay.
Not because I have no rational basis or opinion to vote for him, because I really didn't watch a whole hell of a lot of WCW, but come on. Lex Luger? Really? We're going to pick Lex Luger, the most roided up man in professional wrestling, the man who has no legs anymore because of how much steroids he took because they atrophied? We're going to dub him a great champion? I'm sorry. I'll take Randy Savage.
Okay, there you go. Randy Savage, Randy Savage versus who? Lex Luger, Mace.
I'm looking over the histories of both sort of title reigns here. Savage's one's a very odd. He won his first one in a World War III match. The second one on Nitro. And then he's... third one, Spring Stampede, and fourth one in a tag match. Other than that, there's not really much that I can remember from Savage's reigns. However, I'm going to pick purely based on what I can remember from the WCW days and sort of what was the greatest moment out of both men's reigns. And I can still remember Lex Luger liberating the World Heavyweight Championship from Hollywood Hulk Hogan and everybody in the ring hoisting you up on the shoulders and everything. So I'm going to give it to Lex Luger, even though he did job out to a T-shirt on a clip on YouTube.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. So there you go. Lex Luger finally gets a vote. Savage, Luger.
He got a vote from me. I went with Lex Luger, boss.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Luger, Savage, Luger. Now we go to Omega.
Well, I'm looking over title histories right now. Randy Savage does have him beat in number of title reigns. However, two of them only lasted one pay-per-view to the next, 1 month. And one of them, or actually his other two, lasted 1 day. And that was both his third and fourth title reign. Not exactly what you'd call a title reign, nor does it make for a really solid champion. Lex, only two of them, and yeah, I do remember the big moment where Luger actually took the belt off of Hollywood Hogan. He held that belt almost a year before Luger finally took the belt away from him. And it was a big deal at the time. It didn't last long, but yeah, his first reign came, if the listing is right, technically the second official WCW World Heavyweight Champion, held the belt 230 days. That title reign alone tops all of Savage's combined reigns with the belt. And that was right when he jumped ship, and yeah, he was picking up where Flair left off. So that's a much stronger title reign in my opinion. Yeah, the guy went to crap, but you know, Macho Man did rap, so fuck him, Lex Luger.
There you go. So Luger, Macho Man Luger. Will,
I'm going to end up saying Luger for pretty much all the same reasons everyone else has said. I mean, Macho Man easily was the more charismatic, more fun to watch wrestler, but an impact in world title reigns and title history. We're talking about Savage, four reigns lasting 53 days, and Lex Luger with two reigns lasting 235 days. You know, you put that on a scale, Savage ain't gonna even hold his own weight. And again, like everyone else said, you know, that first time that WCW got that big victory over the NWO, got their world title back, was courtesy of Lex Luger. But, you know, plus, you know, Lex Luger also gave us one of the most memorable pay-per-view moments of having an entire arena turn on him. That was a great bash, wasn't it?
Well,
that
turned
said,
on
Luger.
Everybody. That whole pay-per-view from opening match to the end of it was an absolute car wreck where you had a guy like Pia News on a scaffold match for no reason.
And the crowd was expecting Luger to be their big face, you know, the guy to come out, hold their belt proudly. No, they turned him heel.
Yep, Harley Race showed up, man.
He got that nasty-looking overplated championship. Good God. But yeah, Lex Luger.
There you go. Luger, 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 Luger. And I'm going to also vote for Luger. And my reasoning is, like, you take a look at Randy Savage. Sure, fantastic guy, great, late 80s, early 90s. Take a look at Luger, more like early to mid-late 90s. Randy Savage was in WCW past his prime. I'm not saying that he was over the hill or anything like that. I mean, his best days, his headlining days, his proper headlining days had been behind him when he was in WWF. Lex Luger, sure, he was in WWF, he was in WCW, he was in WCW before he went to WWF. He's more of a homegrown for WCW than Randy Savage could ever be called. That alone, Lex Luger being the title holder while he still has a huge future ahead of him has to give him, at the very least, serious consideration, and that's the main reason why I picked Lex Luger. So there it is. Anybody got a problem with that?
I think the one Randy Savage vote does.
There you go. So Lex Luger moves on, and so does Ric Flair, and that's this edition of The Great Debate. Don't forget, we're going to continue this till we find the greatest WCW champion of all time, according to the Wild Talk Radio Network. And that's The Great Debate. Guys, do you want to take a quick break, or shall we just fire through some quick hits and then say goodnight?
Let's hit it.
Quick hits, go.
Let's do it.
Do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, here we go, the final part of the show, the part of the show where we ask two questions of each of the panel members, one serious, one not so serious, and we find out what kind of answer they give. They could be out of left field, you never know. We'll start with Spug. Spug, what is the one basic fundamental that's missing in wrestling today?
I say it all the time, crowd psychology.
Crowd psychology.
Crowd and ring psychology. Just say psychology. Because a lot of the younger stars today are so Randy Savage-like in the way that they are figuring out their matches in the back and then get flustered when one thing happens wrong. There aren't any quote-unquote ring generals anymore. There isn't that one guy that you know knows how to work a crowd and work his opponent the best of his ability to put both men over. Unfortunately, it's gone the opposite direction is extremely scripted anymore. And there isn't enough of that. There isn't enough ad-libbing, so to speak. There isn't enough psychology and ability to work the match how it should be worked.
There you go. Psychology taking the powder in today's wrestling. All right, Omega. Who's the best high flyer in wrestling?
In wrestling history or just right now?
Who's the best high flyer in wrestling, period? So, for you, okay, what this means is most people would just say, like, you know, for today's wrestlers. But for you, you can pick today, of yesteryear, or of all time. How's that?
Yeah, of tomorrow.
5 minutes from now, who's the best?
Jeez, that is tough, especially because I haven't gotten to see a lot of high flyers in a long time. So it's kind of hard for me to remember. God. this is completely screwing me up.
The fact that you probably have to go to Mexico to find some high flyers these days is probably what's screwing you over.
Well, it's because that pro wrestling has been so shy with high flyers the last few years. I haven't had anything that reminded me of any of the old.
You must have a flyer. Oh my goodness. Now, I don't know if we hung up on Alan or if he hung up on us, but we'll get to him in a bit. Anyway, okay, so you answered or what?
No, actually, let me say Sabu.
Just because, Sabu. Because,
yeah, the things he did, when he left his feet, he was going to do something that would most likely break other people in half. And I've seen him, he's one of the few high flyers I actually got to see in person. I've seen all the scars on him, and that gave me so much respect for everything he had ever done like that. So, that'd be my favorite.
Sabotch. Okay, there you go. So it's a Sabu. Sabu, Sabu, Sabu. All right, Mace, if you had to create your own wrestling championship, what would you name it? And what type of wrestler would you want to have compete for it?
This is the thing. Nobody's really going to get the reference or the wrestlers. So it's going to make absolutely no sense to you guys. I'd call it the Cabbage Juice Championship, and I'd have Mad Dog McRae wrestle for it. It harkens back to an old story here in Australia. A wrestler by the name of Mad Dog McRae does a lot of hardcore style. He's done some trips in Japan, gone against Sick Nick Mondo and stuff like guys like that in the deathmatch stuff in Japan.
Oh, I know Mad Dog McRae, yeah.
He's notorious down here for always drinking during a show.
Yeah.
And one night, they decided to put him on commentary. However, he was not allowed to have any beer at the announce table. So what he did is he went and he got a cabbage leaf from the kitchen and wrapped it around a beer can. So anytime they asked him, "Oh, Mad Dog, what are you drinking?" "Got cabbage juice." So I'd make Cabbage Juice Championship, and he can have it.
There you go, the Cabbage Juice Championship. Okay, there you go. Next one, Will. What was one moment that made you want to watch wrestling?
What was the moment that got me into it?
That made you, like, what's the one moment you're like, holy shit, I gotta keep watching this?
I could not tell you, truth be told. Because I
maybe
have...
I'm giving birth to a hand.
Katie Vick.
I have been watching wrestling since before I can remember. And...
So you saw Hulk Hogan's first title reign?
If you were watching wrestling before you could remember, how can you remember watching wrestling before you could remember?
What I will say is the moment that made me want to watch TNA is the closest thing I can get. And I've said it several times on this show. I was coming out of hernia surgery, and I was just waking up from it for, like, the second time. And there was a TV on in my room. And on that TV, I saw a tiny man do a flip pile driver on someone. And I said, holy shit, I need to watch this.
Ah, okay, well, yeah, that works. That works, why not? All right, so, Alan, are you back?
I sure hope so.
Okay, your question, your first question for tonight is, if you had to be the mouthpiece for a wrestler, what wrestler would it be and why?
Does it have to be a WWE or TNA guy? Yeah, I guess it has to be, because if I mention anybody else, you guys are going to go, who the hell's that?
Oh, there you go.
Of the current talent, I'd love to be the voice piece, the voice person for the Nexus. Those guys should not talk one bit. Wade Barrett, if he's the only one I would ever turn to and go, tell him, Wade. Because he's the one that's the best on the mic. He does FCW TV down here, and until Byron Saxton mentioned it, that, you know, my colleague Wade Barrett, I was going, that's Wade Barrett? Holy crap. So I would love to be the voice for the Nexus right now. Just let them all stand there and be evil-looking, and I would just be the spokesman for them, like Eric Bischoff was for WCW's NWO, or J.J. Dillon, or Jim Cornette for the Midnight Express.
Okay, there you go. The mouthpiece for the Nexus. Back to Spug. Spug, are you ready?
Sure.
Say something nice about TNA.
Oh. I'm just gonna hear him go, no.
I can't. It's not. It's physically impossible.
You're not even gonna date?
Come on, Spug. If I can praise Mr. Anderson, you can praise TNA.
You did that of your own free will, though.
Yeah, you did that of your own free will. Here's one thing I can say about TNA that's not a total douche thing. I will say this. They have the best array of talent that they're not using because the bookers are ego-driven and retarded. That's the nicest thing I can say about TNA.
Wow.
Just think about it. Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Nigel McGuinness, Mr. Anderson, they'd all be great if they could get a push, but they can't because Hogan, Nash, Bischoff, Russo won't get out of their way. That's why I wish Dixie Carter would cave to Paul Heyman's demand.
There you go. Okay. And now we're moving on to Mace. Take a quality from each of the guys here on WTR and make the perfect radio host, Mace.
Oh, boy.
All right, we'd start out with Tim Steins over-promoting and selling. Omega's quick wit.
Damn right.
Will's drunkenness.
All right.
Spug's asshole ability. And Elemojic's wrestling knowledge. And I'm not adding myself into that mix because, well, let's face it, I suck.
I don't know.
You could add in my accent because supposedly drives a lady's nuts. There you go.
There you go. Add the Aussie accent from Mason. That's his contribution to the perfect WTR radio host. We'll see if we can build one, I guess. I don't know.
It'd be helpful when one of us doesn't show up for an episode.
Yeah, we'll just call it Hostatron 5000. Why not? There you go. Omega!
Mm-hmm.
Don't blame me for this question, but if you were a fruit, what type of fruit would you be and why?
What? Where the hell?
Let me give you an example, okay?
You know what? No, I've got my answer.
What? Okay.
I got my answer. It'd be a tomato because nobody thinks it's a fruit.
It's only a fruit when it's raw. It's a vegetable when cooked.
Okay, well, it's an uncooked tomato.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, no, this is true. A tomato is a fruit. It's a member of the berry family. It's related to raspberries, as a matter of fact. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So you'd want to be a tomato. You see, I was going to give you an example. You could say, oh, I'd want to be a cucumber, because women use those when their batteries die.
Wow.
But you have to keep buying cucumbers, because you'll wind up with a pickle.
Oh. I'm so glad I'm so glad Mace didn't choose your joke telling for a perfect host, Tim.
Yeah, no, that's my gimmick. Hit that jokes.
Don't tell me Lita's gone into brining now.
Ooh. Sure, take my bad joke and make it worse. Good job, Omega.
What I'm here for. That's what I have
that would
to
be
do.
The quick wit.
There you go. All right, Will. Who has or had the greatest mullet in wrestling?
What?
Oh, come on. There is one man, and if you don't say it, I'm going to reach through this friggin' internet and strangle you, Will.
Come on, you got to figure out who that guy is.
Truth be told, when I think mullet, I think...
Come on, he's 6 foot
hold
six
on.
And green.
Shut up, hey, shut up. Normally, when I think mullet, I end up thinking of Shawn Michaels' terrible hairdo from the 90s. But... I know who Mace wants me to say, and I agree. The man who pulled off the mullet like no other was Mike Awesome.
Thank you!
Mike with the awesome mullet is Will's choice. There you go. Alan, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, Alan, here's your final question, and the final question of the night, I do believe. Who do you look up to on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and why?
Oh, damn, I was hoping they would have set off the network because I had my answer already set as soon as he started talking.
Well, now we know what to think of us.
On the network, all of you, because I get to be privileged to be a part of this stuff every week.
Oh, that's a cop-out answer.
You know what? You keep sucking up like that, and we're going to cancel OWW Radio on Tuesday, so you can't have a really cool guest on the show.
Damn. Well, that was my answer. Sorry. I'm honored in every week that I get to be a part of this network, unlike other people who blame people for getting kicked off a network that they were not kicked off of because of me, and I wish they would just go away, grow up, and take their ball elsewhere. So I'm happy I get to be affiliated with a class network.
Well, there you go. What network's that? You jumping ship too?
Who are you with?
Oh, heck no. No, I didn't have somebody while they were on the Tuesday night show bug having somebody, I could mention their name, try to recruit them while we're doing Rob Conway.
Ooh, there goes your microphone wires again, Alan. Oh, I don't know what that was, but it stopped now. Okay. I think that our producer, Rock, wants to jump in real quick.
Alan.
Yeah, I had to hang up on him again. We're going to try him back again.
He's going to stop making popcorn during the show.
Yeah, and the whole joke was, Alan, you back with us?
Yeah, we're going to have to let Alan go here. We'll hope that it clears up in time for him to pimp out OWW Radio on Tuesday night. But anyway, Rock, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I had a joke. Isn't this truly the network where we're all friends? This is the place where friends come together, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ooh. That could be considered mean, but it was too funny.
I know. Anyway.
Nobody knows what you're talking about except us, but it works for me.
Yeah.
So, everybody, that's it. It's Russ Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, for another evening right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I once again want to thank all of the newbies, as it were, for showing up. We're going to say hi to Jess. I do believe Jess is in Australia, Mace. You want to say something?
Yeah, measurements and phone number. Send them.
There you go, Jess. Mace wants your measurements and phone number. Mace, I know Jess. I'll talk to her. I'll see what I can help arrange for you. I also want to say hello to Scotland. And thank you very much for tuning in to the wrestling show to Kaylee. She stayed up, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning there or something like that right now, and she stayed up all night just to listen to Wrestle Talk Radio for the first time in her life.
That poor, misguided girl.
Yes, all the guys apologize for making you lose so much sleep, Kaylee. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. Don't forget, tune in Tuesday night for OWW Radio. I'm not going to say anything about guests, okay? We're not going to tell you who the guests are, but I'll tell you this much. If I wasn't involved in the network, I'd tune in just to listen, because Alan Wojcik will be on OWW Radio. That's this Tuesday night. Wednesday, Geek Speak. Ain't that right, Mason, Omega, and Spug?
Spug if he shows up.
Spug if he shows up. There you go. Anything special going on, or are you just going to do nerd shit?
We never have a plan.
Usually we do it before Omega goes to Metrocon, so I don't know if we're doing it this time. Usually it would be our third annual convention survival game.
Okay, there you go. And Thursday night is normally anything goes, but in its place we might have Rockin' It Old Style yet once again with your host, with the most, DJ Stein. Looks like I'll be doing a lot more regular DJing right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. So you get to come and listen to some tunes and you do requests and the whole bit, and be a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun the last two nights I've done it. So pay attention to the... What's that?
You need to do an old school metal night where you play like Angel Witch and Maiden and, you know.
Like 80s hair metal bands. We'll do theme nights. How's that sound?
Not even hair metal. Just like, I mean, old school metal. I'm sorry, Motorhead, Angel Witch, all of that.
Oh, sure.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.